Quick shout out to our sponsor, Dealfront. Struggling to reach decision makers? Dealfront has you covered. It's your all-in-one platform to target ideal leads and close deals. Dealfront stands out with live European data in multiple languages, giving you insights and access others can't match. Finding the right decision makers is now just a few clicks away. Dealfront combines market signals, web visitors, and EU company databases, all while ensuring GDPR compliance. Ready to transform your sales game? Get your free demo at dealfront.com. That's dealfront.com. Or check the link in the description and show notes. Elevate your sales strategy with Dealfront. Hello, listeners, watchers, fans, subscribers of the SDR Disco Call Show. My name is Neil Buyan and the host. If this is your first time joining, this show is all about the world of tech sales and sales development. So if you want to think about prospecting, outbounding, talking to prospects and selling software, this is where it's at. My job is to find really cool and interesting people that work within this profession to understand how did they get into this gig, what things have they learned to either inspire or encourage you to come work in this beautiful industry. As a gentle reminder, if you're listening to this in your local podcast platform, please give us a rating and subscribe. And equally, if you're watching this on our YouTube channel, make sure that you like, comment, and subscribe down below. So in the world of sales, fun fact, 92% of customers are willing to give a referral, but only 11% of sales reps ask for that referral. And I'm really happy to say this guest that's coming on board is a referral from a former guest, Minnie Ryder. So big shouts out to Minnie. Thank you so much. Guest, without further ado, could you tell us who are you? Where are you based in the world? What do you do? And who do you work for?
Absolutely. So my name is Amy Morrison. I am based in London and I work as an SDR for a company called Tagstar. I've been there for about just coming up 6 months. And essentially we help online retailers increase their online conversions. We do it through social proof messaging, which is actually a really cool concept.
I love that. Social proof messaging. I love that. And to give us a bit more context, what would be the typical personas or job titles that you would love to talk to introduce Tagstar?
In terms of personas, definitely, you know, chief technology officers, e-commerce managers. As soon as I'm seeing e-commerce in their title, I want to speak to them. Also as well, going into sort of like merchandising managers as well, because our platform also increases like product reach and getting all of the, as many products in front of that consumer as possible, it also kind of falls under there. Then of course, C-suite, I want to be talking to the CEOs, the directors, all of the above. But yeah, typically CTOs, e-commerce, anything digital, you'll be getting a call from me for sure.
Love that. Well, Amy, a pleasure to have you on the show and welcome. Thank you very much. And also, it's always interesting to know, outside of sales, what kind of passions, interests, and hobbies do you have, Amy?
So, I love animals. I know it's pretty generic, but I am pretty obsessed. I live in Ireland, and my house is half house, half animal sanctuary. So, moving away on the weekends, I like the dog sit for people. I'll do dog walks, all of that stuff. And as well, I love art and painting and things like that. Especially with the sun coming out now, I like to like take my little set and go out and sit and do some doodles and things like that. But apart from that, just going out, socializing. I mean, we're in England and the sun's out, so definitely a hobby. But yeah, that's kind of me. Socializing is a big thing for me.
I love that. Thank you so much. So normally what we do at this point of the show, if you're watching this on our YouTube channel, is we like to go to our guest's LinkedIn profile, and we'll always be putting the LinkedIn link within the show notes and within the description. So if you want to connect with Amy, pick her brain on anything we've discussed today, feel free to give her a follow and reach out. So Amy, you've got quite a cool career and you actually made quite a transition from where you used to work beforehand. But what we can see is, you know, you used to work as a call center agent, you've been a sales attendant, You've worked at an early learning center. You've been a general nurse and you've worked in nursing. You've been a bartender. You've been an SDR. And most recently, you know, for the last 9 months, as alluded to, you're working at Tagstar. So it's really cool and interesting to know, in your own words, take us way back from the beginning of, you know, where did you start out and how did you go through all those journeys and how did you get to where you are today, Amy?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, when you look at my LinkedIn, I've had it before, or like my CV, I look like a jack of all trades. I have definitely had a few positions, but it's for a reason. So very first job, I was a call center agent in the middle of the sticks in Ireland. It was great. And then I went on to do, I volunteered at a little center in my town called Spree of the Sport. And essentially it's like respite for parents with kids who have intellectual disabilities. So you run camps. Oh, okay. And yeah, it was one of my favorite things I've actually done. And then obviously I trained as a nurse. For me, growing up, it was always nursing. Like there was no question about it. It was nursing. And I stuck with it and I went and I trained. I trained in Galway. Absolutely loved it. Passion for nursing is still 100% there. But after I graduated, which I graduated through COVID as well.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And obviously I was in my final year. I had to work. So I didn't get like a lockdown per se. I had to stay in Galway and go into the hospitals. So once I graduated, I said, I'm traveling. There's no way I'm not doing it. I'm gone. So hence why you've got bartender, waitress, carer. So I moved to Brussels in Belgium first. It was brilliant. And I worked in an Irish bar called O'Reilly's. Great fun. Was there for 3 months. That was really good. And then I moved to Vienna, where I waitressed in the Hard Rock Cafe. Great restaurant to waitress in. Honestly, it's so fun. And then I actually lived in Bali for 3 months after that in Indonesia. Then Lisbon. Now I'm in London. But along that way, in Lisbon, I didn't have a job. And the people that I was in Lisbon with worked as an SDR. That was actually the reason we went to Lisbon in the first place. And all my friends who were in that job were coming back kind of describing what they were doing. And I was like, that sounds really interesting and definitely something that I feel like I might be good at. I mean, I'm the type of person in a pub that I'll come up to you and say hello if I want to see and make friends. So
yeah,
it's never been an issue. So I thought, oh my God, okay, that might transition well. So I started doing all my research and lots of LinkedIn courses and stuff like that, just to see, you know, what it was all about. And then moving to London, I got my first SDR job. Yeah, so I've been in it a year and a half now.
That is such a cool story. And there are so many things within that journey that I'd love to pick on, because it sounds like you've had a hell of a lot of experience and you've experienced different cultures and places as well as going through, you know, like lockdown and whatnot. But if we go like way back a little bit, where you said, you know, you always said it's going to be nursing. What was the pull or the motivation for nursing, and what is it that made you want to get into that initially?
Honestly, when I think about this and I speak about it with my family, we do kind of go, where did that come from? So my whole family, there's no one in healthcare. There's no one in that like any kind of sector like it. But I, my mum's mum, my nan, she lived with us when I was little. And then she unfortunately did get sick and pass away. However, she stayed with us in the house. I remember the Macmillan nurses coming to the house. I would have been about 5 or 6. They were absolutely amazing. And they would kind of introduce me and be like, well, come on, you can help with this and make it a less scary atmosphere. So when I try and pinpoint it, I'm definitely thinking, you know, helping them and going through that whole experience definitely kind of led me down a little bit of a path, or gave me a little bit of a calling, let's say.
Inspiration.
Like, yeah. Nursing is definitely a vocational career, I think. So I think that's where it came into play for me, for sure.
I love that. And also, as you mentioned, and that is a cool story, because obviously going through personal experiences and then seeing the nurses coming into your home as a young child, being able to help with that and then setting that inspiration, I think that's really cool. And then obviously going into that as well. And as you alluded to, like, you know, that's something you studied for and then you graduated through lockdown. So for somebody that wasn't really into education and wasn't going through education at that point in my life, especially through the pandemic, what was it like for a student to graduate through lockdown? What was that remote life or experience like?
I think I can speak for a lot of us in that year when I say anticlimactic. Completely. I never got the gown and the diploma and all that kind of stuff and the big event. We had a Zoom call. And people are definitely going to be like, yep, I know what she's on about, because it was a Zoom call and then your name just came up on a PowerPoint and I sat with my family and just, that was it. But in terms of like actually graduating and like even finishing off the year, in nursing, in your final, in your final year, you're in the hospitals. Like I was on COVID wards. So that was difficult for sure. And I get super close, even with my prospects now, I get super close to people. Like even after a meeting, I'll like chat to you after and like build those connections. But it was the same in nursing. So it was very difficult. However, looking back, I took so many positives away from it and I've gotten more resilient and more a little bit headstrong and things like that, which have in turn helped me in my sales career now. Absolutely. Yeah. But yeah, it was a tricky time, but I think whoever did graduate and like got through that period of time, I think we all did really well and we should give ourselves a pat on the back for sure.
100%. Love that. I love that. That again is a cool story. And I'm always curious as to people's experiences of lockdown and the pandemic, because like, look, we're 2024 now. And for a lot of people, or sometimes I think everybody's forgotten that it happened. And some people want to forget that it happened, but you know, for a lot of us it was life-changing, not only just with health, family situations and the way we do, like, but it's the way we work and what we do with our careers. So I was just curious to know, and I'll give some context before I drop this question, when going through the pandemic and the world shifted and changed, I started asking myself, is this what I want to do? Or, you know, like when things, if they go back to normal, what would life look like? And I questioned a lot of things. And I think a lot of people that I've spoken to, either friends, family, or people on this show, have gone through a little bit of a transition. I was just wondering, you know, as you said, the anticlimactic sort of feeling of, okay, I graduated on a Zoom, which again, there's nothing wrong with that. Did any seeds of change or anything come into your mind or thoughts, or what were you thinking back then?
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, it was a really tricky time for me because I was where I was so set on it. And I was like, and I still, like, don't get me wrong, I still love the work. I miss it. And like on weekends and any opportunity I get, I'll go and volunteer somewhere, or I'll go and make some cups of teas in an old people's home and things like that. Like, I love the work. However, it was coming back from Lisbon, I was like, okay, I can either go back to nursing or kind of follow this path in with something that I think is quite interesting and see where that goes. I mean, I've got so much time. I think everyone rushes to kind of sometimes get into a set career and you need like a 5-year plan and all this stuff. And sometimes you don't. You just need to kind of go on a whim if you've got a gut feeling, and sometimes it will work out and sometimes it doesn't. For me, luckily, this has worked out. even if it doesn't, you just go back. But that was kind of coming into play. And as well, I think it's no hidden secret that the resources and staffing and things like that in nursing, I mean, it's kind of like a broken record at this rate. It's very, very common knowledge. That was a big struggle for me. I think because I like to feel like I'm actually making an impact or a difference.
Yeah.
That's why I end up connecting and getting so close to people. So especially through COVID, where resources were at an all-time low, I was working like 16-hour shifts, not getting paid, by the way, because I'm a student. And I'm like doing all this stuff. I'm staying extra hours to make sure that that one patient has everything that they need. And then I go home and I come back and something's happened. I'm like, the effort and burnout I'm giving then isn't actually doing a substantial difference. And it was having a big impact on me as well.
Yeah.
So I kind of decided, let me take a chance on this one that I think is interesting. I can still do the work on the weekends. I can still kind of give myself in that way through volunteering charities and stuff like that. But I need to put myself first in having a bit of a healthier balance in both of those concepts. Does that make sense?
Yeah. 100%. 100%. And I think it's when you're going through, let's just put it as high stressful situations where there is a lot of demand, either physically or mentally, on you. And bro, like within tech and sales, that's something that happens a lot. But I think, you know, a lot of people ask me, like, even in coaching or if they're asking for advice, like, how do you find work-life balance? And I've kind of come to the conclusion there isn't a balance. It's you deal with what you're doing at that point, and you need to know when to down tools before moving on to the next thing. So, you know, either having career, family, work, or whatever the demand, there's always going to be demands around you. But I've got, like, my hats off to the nurses within the pandemic. And also most recently, like, I was in hospital with pneumonia, and I was in hospital for a week, and I went through three different wards, like A&E, infectious diseases, and another ward. And seeing the nurses working like 16, 18, 19 hour shifts, and I'm in the bed being tended to, and I'm just like, when do you go home? And they're like, oh, I've got another shift. I'm like, really? But then for a patient, and I could see in my ward, you know, there were some elderly people that were kind of coming to the end of their life, and you could see the fear on their faces. But with certain nurses, they took the time to care for the patient, sit down and talk to them. Then I had a laugh with my nurses. I bought them all chocolates, was listening to UK Garage in the ward and all of that. So
I'd be the patient.
Yeah, it was good. But I came out of the hospital with just like, wow, you know, those people do a lot. And sometimes for them, it might be a thankless job, because I could see some patients who were just like, well, I'm entitled to this care. I'm, you know, I'm in the UK, so I'm on the NHS, so this is your job. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I wouldn't have to want to be the person that cleans up somebody's sick blood shit and all of that, you know.
Yeah.
You go through a tough... Yeah, exactly. But anyway, shifting on from this element, I want to kind of go into your travel piece as well, because I've had a few guests that have gone off traveling to see the world, you know, and to get some experience, get some culture. And it's really cool to say that you went to Belgium, because Belgium is one of my favorite places. I've worked out with teams, and a lot of people that are listening either are those team members out in Ghent and Brussels as well. But what was it like going to Belgium, working in an Irish bar and meeting the Belgians and working with them and like meeting them? What was that like for you, Amy?
Honestly, well, I'll start at the beginning. Moving there in the first place was terrifying. I mean, I had just graduated college. However, so I live in a tiny, tiny village in Ireland called Af, if anyone's heard of it. It's at the very, very top. It's in the middle of nowhere. So I moved from there to Galway, which is a 6-hour bus away. So that was my first big move for college. I was like, okay, as soon as college comes, so I did one big move, but I mean, this is a different country. And I'm very lucky, and I'm very close with my parents. I'm very close with my family. So being in a different country as well, that was very nerve-wracking. I was like, oh my God. as soon as I got off the plane, I was like, this is great. Oh my God, this is brilliant. I had all the interviews lined up ahead of time for loads of pubs. I just thought, you know, I'm there for 3 months. I've never been a bartender. Let me do that. Bit of fun. Yeah. And I met, his name was Seamus, lovely guy. And he was like, you come from Ireland? I was like, yeah. And he was like, hired. I was like, brilliant.
that quick.
Literally, that's all I needed to do. And pour a good Guinness, of course, because there is definitely a system. But working there and meeting the people, such a difference, like big culture difference, but I loved them. Like, they would come in, like obviously the locals would come in It was also kind of a sports bar thing as well. So
yeah.
I remember there was F1 races at the time. I'm not big into F1, so I don't know players, drivers. Literally players. There was a big tournament on or something. And honestly, I remember it well. That pub was packed to bits. And everyone was just so friendly and engaging. And obviously, it's an Irish pub. So they come in and they expect a certain kind of people. So I absolutely loved it. It was one of the best. And this was kind of close to Christmas time. So we got the Christmas markets and all of that.
Yeah.
And also, Brussels is such a good location. We got on the bus to Paris and Amsterdam. So we also used it as a bit of a base to kind of bump
go on other places. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I love that. And again, like Belgium is one of my favorite countries, and I've got a lot of friends out there. And as you've mentioned, you've come, like, you had a small town. And then you went to another city, and then you moved to another country, and you're meeting all these people. And I remember, like, my first days going out to Belgium, I'd never been there before, so I didn't have like a benchmark or a reference.
Yeah.
And there were cultural differences, so I realized the Belgians could drink, right? But the difference between, and I'm also getting like memories of me and Christian and Max, like from our days at Chopad, because it was a Belgian company. The Belgians could drink a lot, and their beers obviously had a higher percentage, but they didn't do what us Brits did, which was we drink to get drunk. The Belgians would pace themselves, and they could be drinking for hours, but they didn't make a dick of themselves. And so that, I respected that a lot. But also the cultural differences, like shops would open at different times in the week or shut really early. So when I thought, oh, I'll just go shop and pick something up to eat, and the shops are all shut, and I'm like, how do I eat? Where do I eat from? And all of these things. But for a young person that's going out into that, like, what was your, because obviously you said you're very close to your family. When you're catching up with them, what were the discussions like of you being international?
So I just have to say, before I go on to that point, whenever you mentioned about the beer, my first night on the job, I had a Le Chiff. I think it was a And I'm a beer drinker. I'm a Guinness and a beer drinker. So I, straight down, I think I had two. Yeah. Paralytic. It was awful. And then I looked and it was 9%. And I was like, oh, that makes sense. Definitely paced myself after that.
And just to give a warning for any of our listeners or watchers, if you've never been to Belgium, don't do what Amy just did and what I did. Because I remember when I was in Chopad and I went out for my onboarding, it was my first week in Belgium. I went to the shops and I bought a Duvel, and I bought the Triple D, and I remember I was at my laptop drinking it, and then I went to stand up, and I was like, whoa, I was like, what the hell? And it hit, because it hits you. So yeah, warning. But yeah, sorry, go on. So with traveling, connecting with your family, like, what was those conversations like, Amy?
So I speak with my family, no joke, hand on heart. I call my mum in the morning, in the evening, and I call my dad in the afternoon every single day. Because my parents, and I've got two brothers, I've got a twin brother and an older brother, and I am the outlier of my whole family. I love going out and socializing. I'm very outgoing. My family are more reserved, and they like kind of being in their own little bubble. So once I kind of told them I want to go traveling, I want to do this, they were like, go for it. They've been the most supportive family ever. And of course they use me for free holidays, because they come visit me and get free accommodation. So those conversations are more, obviously my dad's side is like safe, the people nice, so you put your phone in your pocket, all this, you know, the typical dad lectures about safety and things like that. Whereas mum is like, so what are you doing, what are you gonna do this, where have you gone? What are the shops like? You know, and the food. What's the food like? I'm a very plain eater, so that was a big concern for me going to all of these different countries. I was like, what am I going to eat? Which, and it was actually fine. But so yeah, the conversations with my family are more, they're more concerned about how I'm doing as well as far as where I am, if that makes sense. And they've come to see me at every place I've gone. They're actually coming to London next week, so that should be very exciting.
Awesome. I love that. So the next piece that I want to come on to, like where you told us your story, was, you know, if you're working in a pub or you're a very social person and you love talking to people, but you'd be happy to come up to somebody and say hi to make friends, right? So I can remember in my SDR days, I was either introverted, but I found it very hard to connect with people and put my foot forward to say hi to people. And, you know, over the years with sales and doing stuff like this, my confidence has grown and I'll be the person that will walk up and say, hi, my name's Neil, nice to meet you. What brought you here? And all of that. But I think for SDRs, it's that confidence piece, whether it's cold calling, meeting prospects, doing Zooms and stuff like that. And there is always this fear of, oh, I don't know who these people are. Why should I talk to them? Mm-hmm. But what is it for you that gives you that inspiration to go and be the first person to say hello and like have those social skills? And, you know, what tips would you give to people that may be a little bit hesitant about it?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I'll hold my hands up. I'll be completely honest, especially when I first started as an SDR, cold calling for me was terrifying. Whereas, I mean, it didn't make any sense. If my boss had said, your prospect is out in the kitchen, I'm out in the kitchen making them a cup of tea and getting to know them. To pick up the call, I think as a new SDR, I thought, well, what's on the other side here? Like, you don't know what you're going to get on as a response, or are they going to hang up or scream at you down the phone? And then I kind of quickly had to realize, if they hang up, that's fine, just call the next person. Or if they scream at you, it's fine, they're never going to see you, they're never going to meet you, they're never going to I had to take the personal attachment I had to everything out. And as soon as I've done that, don't get me wrong, if I get screamed at on the phone, which we all do, I'm like, okay, that hurt a little bit, my ego. But it's less of a, oh my God, my feelings are hurt kind of thing. But in terms of tips of just, you know, like connect, just putting yourself out there with people, honestly, just do it within 3 seconds. If you see someone, that's what I do. If I see someone if I'm out at a bar and I see like a friendly girl at the bar that I'm like, oh, I've kind of been friends with her, she looks fun. If I don't know after in 3 seconds after having that thought, I know I won't do it. So I'm just like, right, I'm gone straight away. I'll go up like, oh, you got a nice dress on. I think don't hesitate too much in the initial push to go and do it, or press dial or send a LinkedIn message or things like that. Don't worry about making yourself look stupid. This was a big thing for me as well. And it comes with confidence, I think, and don't get me wrong, I'm still working on it for sure. But I think don't feel stupid about doing things. If anything, they'll turn around to you and give you a nod of like, fair dues, you put yourself out kind of thing. And yeah, just be confident. In moments like that, you can fake confidence. I do believe you can just and go. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So I think those would be my three. Don't hesitate. Don't be worrying about feeling stupid. You can feel stupid after. And just kind of put on a bit of a mask and just go straight in, and then you'll get comfortable as soon as they respond to you. I think as soon as they give you one line back, you kind of go, okay.
Yeah, and that's interesting where you said, you know, you can kind of fake that confidence, and I can relate to it, because when I had the, you know, the connotation of I want to get into sales, my thought in my head was, these people of salespeople are very confident. They're very direct. They're just like, they've just got this riz, we could call it, right? And being that SDR, I was kind of trying to program my brain of, I have to take the jump. I have to take the leap. Otherwise, I'm always going to be here. So I would force myself to feel uncomfortable of, if I was in a room or if I was meeting a new team, I was like, hi, my name's Neil Bouyan. I'm the new sales rep, or I'm the new rep, or I'm the new hire, or stuff like that. Because I've also noticed with people in general, we are sometimes a little bit antisocial, but it's when the person initiates the hello, the other person will reciprocate, and they're like, oh, at least he said it first, you know, and I know they're kind of even thinking that. But, you know, sometimes just getting used to, and it's like what you're saying with a cold call. Initially, it's scary when you're thinking to pick it up. But if you just do it, yeah, they might blast you. But then, as you said, there's another one. And equally, when you're meeting new people, some people may just not like you, you know?
the way of the world, really.
Yeah, it is. And I think that's the expectation we have to kind of set ourselves. Not everybody's going to like us. Not everybody's going to understand us, etc. But kind of like to your point of bars and meeting and talking to people, because like my early days before being in sales was being a club MC, working in bars and meet and going to different cities and touring and just meeting random people and just saying, rather than saying, hello, my name's Neil Booyan, I'd be like, yeah. Hi, my name's Snipes, I'm the MC, Spud, and kind of getting used to it. So I think like a tip for our audience is like events, you know, like sales events, exhibitions are a really good place to kind of build your confidence. Because I think if you can force yourself, or like we're saying, fake that confidence just to say hi to people and initiate the conversation, when you get back into the office and you're on your phones, it's not as scary because you've got this little...
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, I'm digressing.
Like, I think one thing to remember as the person who's calling is, I think it's not like you like the prospects. I mean, you might like them, but I mean, like, you want something out of the prospect. Yeah. You want a meeting. It's not, I think, going into calls, you shouldn't be like, this is my best friend and I really want to be best friends with this person. So if they scream at me or tell me no, I'm going to be personally really offended. You don't like the, realistically, you want something out of that prospect just as much as the prospect is going to want your solution to bring them value. So I think that's a big thing to remember is, I mean, you might become friends with some prospects after, but I think you want to deliver them something and help them with something, yes. But it's not like you're going to ask them out for a Sunday dinner and they're going to reject you. Do you know what I mean? To kind of have on it, but
I like that, and I think that's like a really good way to think about not taking it personally, because to your point, you're not trying to make friends with these people, you're trying to introduce a service, and it's on a business level. And if they tell you to piss off, cool, I'll just chat to the next person and see if they're interested in my business. So I think I've never really thought of it that way, so thank you for that. And kind of the next bit that I want to go on to, so like you were saying, your friend was working in the SDR life and you said, that's interesting. Maybe that's what I could do. Could you just walk us through like the highlights of how did that pan out? And then I'd love to come into like what's the last 9 months been like at Tagstar?
Yeah, 100%. So basically my friend, a bit of a different personality to me. So I just assumed, bearing in mind, I'd never really looked into sales at all prior to this. So I never even heard of the SDR role. I was very much in my nurse thing, healthcare world, little bubble. So they would just come back and they'd be like, oh, I was chatting to like the CEO of like a brand that I would recognize. And I'm like, what? How are you talking to the CEO of, you know, whatever? And they're like, oh, well, you know, just get the number on this. And then you message them on LinkedIn. And then you get, and the process started getting explained to me. And I thought, that is actually really cool. And then, like, we'd be walking down the street and they'd be like, oh, I booked them. And I booked them. I don't know how cringy it is. It is so satisfying.
I know that.
So then I used to be, when they'd work from home, I kind of listen in to their calls. I'd literally stand outside the door and be like that. And I just thought something, a little pin dropped. And I was giving them ideas. Like, I'm quite a creative person and I like to come up with like new ideas. I know that's such a generic thing being said in the SDR world now, and it's hard to kind of stand out at the moment, but I at least try and think of ways. So I found myself like, oh, why didn't you do this? And why don't you do that? Why am I not doing it? So that's when I went on. I started on LinkedIn Sales Navigator Learning, and I went, SDR, tell me everything I need to know. And I started there, and then I went on to other online courses, and I just used my time in Lisbon as a bit of a
study break.
Yeah, like a study break, like just to make sure I wasn't a complete deer in headlights coming in. So yeah, that was kind of why that happened. I was just exposed to it on a nice level.
I love that. So I think, you know, hearing your friends doing it and then being curious about like how did that happen? As I remember, And I've said it on the show multiple times, so apologies if everybody's heard this anecdote. But when I started my SDR life and I was catching up with my mates on the weekend, and I'm like, oh, bruv, what are you up to? Yeah, I'm doing this at work, and I forget work. I'm going out to a festival, or I'm doing this, and rare, rare, rare. And I'm like, all right, cool. And then the next guy said, yeah, do you know what? Doing a couple of shifts, doing some stuff on the weekend, sorting out the car. And they're like, so what have you been up to now? I said, I've been chatting to CEOs all week of like companies like HBO, like, you know, BNP Paribas. You know, talking to this VP, and they'd be like, huh?
Yeah.
And I said, and because I geeked out on it. But you then asked that question, like, how are you talking to the CEO of such and such brand? And yeah, I did the same thing of when I'm out with the mates, oh, I booked a meeting with them. Oh yeah, do you know what? The reason they can do that is because of me. And then I always had that claim to fame of like my history is I booked the meeting outbound with HBO, and the meeting like launched and they joined with the company. And that's the reason Game of Thrones was launched to the world, because it was through our platform. But I was the SDR that outbounded them to get it out and released.
That's a pretty impressive story, Neil.
Thank you very much. I've told it 100 times. I'm going to shy away from it. But, you know, like you then took your own time to look into what is this all about. So it wasn't so much I accidentally fell into sales. Mm-hmm. You took a vested interest into it and explored those avenues and then did courses. So I think that's, again, for anybody that's listening to the show, thinking about taking that jump or exploring that career, I think that's a really, really, really great way to do it. Yeah. And kind of coming back to, you know, in the recent months working at Tagstar. So what was that like? How did you find them as a company? What was it like to join? And what has the last couple of months been like? Because a lot of people that I'm speaking to week in, week out saying, you know, things are getting either harder or we're having to adapt the way we do it. But yeah, just talk me through Tagstar, like the highlights from beginning to where you are today, Amy.
Honestly, I'm not just saying it. If I was feeling something else, I think you'd know. But I just love them. I've never really worked for a company that is so open to kind of like feedback and new ideas. I mean, I feel like you can't stay stagnant in sales. That's silly to think. So they're very on the ball of like, okay, well, let's sit down. We do feedback sessions. We do like training sessions with the SDRs like all the time. And the team that I'm on as well, like my other SDRs. So we've got three senior SDRs and then there's three more, including myself. And our team like bond is really, really great. And it's so important, I think. We're so good at, if I see something on LinkedIn and I know it's Jack's account, I'm like, okay, oh, Jack, look at this. We're all like that with each other. We've got a group chat. We're sending everything to each other. It's really nice. If someone's having a bad day, we're there hyping it up. I've got actually a little positive potato thing in the office.
Positive potato. Tell us more about positive potato. I want to know about this.
It's a little crochet. My mum actually sends it to me. Uh-huh. It's a little crocheted potato, and it says a little label saying, stay positive, you can do this. I mean, it's cringy, but as soon as someone's had a bad call, I'm chucking it over, and it literally gets flung around the office like nothing normal. But
yeah,
it really brings up morale. Development, not only in my like confidence, I would say I'm quite a confident person, but I mean, in any situation, like even like before this, I was like, oh, I'm getting a bit
nervous. Yeah.
But in terms of development and things like that, I mean, I've been there 6 months. They're big on like helping people personally brand themselves, which I would like, I'm really trying to do. I want to get out there. I want to network and things like that. And I will give it, Minnie has been amazing in helping me with that side of things. And yeah, basically it's Minnie. Obviously Christian Priest, have to give him a shout out, he's the best. But no, it's a really good team. And I've also never been at a company that actually look at the outside factors of sales and then maybe like the internal numbers and things that are going on and things like that. So very adaptive, very open. Obviously there's still things that we're kind of working on and molding on together. But it's always like an ever working process.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I never feel like, well, if we do this now at TagStart, so that's what we're going to be doing for the rest of my time at TagStart. It's like, we'll do one thing 1 week and then another thing another week. So yeah, ever changing, love it so much. And I really want to stay.
I love that. So shouts out to the TagStart team, Minnie and Christian out there. And it sounds like, you know, you're in a really good place, a place where you can flourish. You've got a lot of good camaraderie between like your peers and your colleagues, and you help out. And I think it's important to be in a place that you love to work, because you will spend, you know, a good portion, like 90% of your week, of your working hours within that space. So, you know, that's also, I think, for our audience, when you're looking at tech companies, is that you need to be able to vibe with your tribe with it. And, you know, in recent weeks, because I've always followed Minnie on LinkedIn, and she was a great guest on a show, and we learned a hell of a lot from her. But since joining TagStart, I've seen a lot of content from yourselves and your team. And I do want to ask you a question, and you may or may not have an opinion on this, which is fine. But I was on LinkedIn yesterday, and a young SDR had posted on, like, back in 2020, this was the typical day of an SDR: call block, email, prospecting, lunch, call block, and stuff like that. And on the other side, there was a huge block which said content creation, then some calls.
What you're on, I've seen the post you're on about.
Yeah. And I saw the post and I supported it, because as a content creator, I was creating content as an SDR, and I'm still an SDR today, and I'm still creating content, and I loved it. However, what I was a little bit disheartened with was there were a lot of, let's just call them senior vets in the game, saying this is like, no, this isn't ever going to work, and anything like that. And this is just Neil's personal opinion. Those people that tell you that you cannot do those things are telling you not because they're trying to discourage you, it's because they've never done it, they've never experienced it, and they're measuring themselves against the other person. And from my point of view, I never take advice from people that have never either done what I'm doing or what I'm about to do. But I'm loving LinkedIn with all SDRs and BDRs creating their content. And to quote Gary Vaynerchuk, who's somebody I look up to, he says, don't treat your company like a business service. Treat it like a media agency. Mm-hmm. Because the more content you put out, more people will then want to learn about your products and services. Yeah. But with the TagStart team and you guys creating content, I love the Gile one, like wherever is, where does Gile, CP time and stuff like that. What's your thoughts on BDRs, SDRs, and content creating on LinkedIn?
All for it. And I can actually validate your opinion, because I have the exact same. Minnie can back me up on this, actually. About, I'm going to confidently say, 85 to 90% of every meeting that I've booked at TagStart has been via LinkedIn. No cold call, no email, LinkedIn DM, and 90% of my meetings are coming from LinkedIn. So I'm still, don't get me wrong, I'm still cold calling. I mean, you can't beat a conversation.
Just one channel.
Just one channel, but...
Yeah.
And emails and things like that. But for me, in the last couple of weeks, I'm really focusing on LinkedIn. I think it just gives you a better opportunity to put yourself out there, to connect with more people. I also think for prospects, it's just nicer, especially if you put... I've started to put posts like not about the company I work for or things like that. Yeah. Like I did a post, my last one. Of course, I plugged TagStart. I mean, I'm in work, but... Yeah. I gently looked down at my desk and I was like, I always have my little positive potato and my little mascot. I was like, I'm going to post this on. And that's what I'm going to start doing. Like, if I think of something, I'm just going to do it. And I think that's how we should be using LinkedIn, because then prospects will go on to my page, I'm hoping, and they will see a human being more so than just a name that keeps calling them 100 million times. So if they see like, oh, oh, she's from Ireland and she's got a positive potato on her desk and oh, this is what it sounds like. It gives you a little bit more, I can't think of the word, but you're a bit more...
It gives another dimension to yourself, right?
Yeah, exactly. And I'm a big thing on commenting on your prospects' posts. I mean, I booked a meeting last week by being the first one to comment on one of my prospects' posts. And I was like, we should meet. Can I drop you a message? Meeting booked that day, went ahead the following day or the day after. Bing, bang, bosh, done. So I think scrolling on LinkedIn might seem like you're not working, but you are. And just comment what you would comment on your friend's picture. Like, keep it casual. And I think that's the whole purpose of LinkedIn. It's still professional and you still talk to CEOs and, you know, the people that you want in a respectful way, but you can be a bit more you, I think. You can get your personality a bit across more, for sure.
I love that. And I agree with all those points. And I've got to be careful not to go too deep because I can literally ramble on for about an hour with this. But I saw a beautiful post from this lady. I think her name is either Ashley or Amy. She's a founder of a creative agency. And she put a post talking about there are different platforms for different reasons. And she was breaking down social media. Mm-hmm. So she kind of said, with Facebook, everybody wants to see what you're up to with your friends, your family, how like your loved ones are doing. When you come to Instagram, everybody wants to know what you're eating or where you're visiting. When you're coming to TikTok, that person is coming to TikTok to learn about something from an individual on a certain topic. And with LinkedIn, it's naturally been like a business-led networking platform, but it's now starting to transform where it's taking elements of all of those other platforms within to LinkedIn. And I agree with that. And I think the shift I saw because of the pandemic and lockdown was everybody was working from home. So LinkedIn was the only water cooler where they could feel like they were still at work.
Yeah.
But they started sharing a little bit more personal stuff. And I do see some, and I'm just going to say it, miserable, stuck up people that get annoyed. So, well, this isn't Facebook. And I said, you know what? You got to adapt. And, you know, whatever was back in the day, that's not happening. But the other thing that I also think is, and this was my early shower morning thought, if you're putting down these SDRs for doing these sort of things, one day those SDRs are either going to be the CEO of their own companies and you're going to be their customers. So don't put them down because they may not want you to be their customer. They might want to help you out. So the reason, why am I saying this? I'm nearing 40 this September. And I stay young by watching what SDRs do on LinkedIn and they inspire me. So when I saw that post and I was like, yeah, I don't think I ever put a content creation block in my calendar. I'd love to, you know, coach SDRs and say, have you thought about putting a content creation block in the thing? But that's where I kind of have to wrap this up because otherwise I will go on for hours.
Yeah, I get you.
Yeah, but how does that land with you, Amy?
I completely agree. And again, I'll give it to Minnie. Minnie makes sure that, well, not make sure, but she's so good on the personal branding side of things. She's like, Amy, done a LinkedIn post this week? I'm like, oh yeah, I see about this and this. Don't think about it. Do it. I'm like, okay. And I think one of the things I had to get over in starting LinkedIn, and I can guarantee there's people that are going to be watching this who want to start posting on LinkedIn and thinking, oh my God, this is so cringy, or my friend's going to take the mick out of me, or, you know, everything and above. Just don't care. Honestly, there are so many people out there on LinkedIn posting videos of themselves and doing all this. Like, if you look at all the TikTokers, it's not that much different. And so I think, in a sense, it's like, you look at all these TikTokers who are making so much money.
Yeah.
Do the same on LinkedIn, get your prospects booked in and make the same amount. Do you know what I mean? It's get over the sense of embarrassment. That is what I'm trying to say.
It's literally putting your hand out first and saying hi to the world. This is me, right?
Yeah.
And there was a phrase that I literally coined this week, which was, opinions do not pay bills, but actions can impact incomes. So it's that, you know, that fear of what is everybody going to think of me? Forget about it.
Yeah.
If you take that action and do that post, it can actually help either earn money or, you know, impact your career. Because again, this show 3.5 years ago posted the first ever episode, not knowing where it's going to go. But, and again, shout out to all the listeners, subscribers and fans and watchers. We hit over 100,000 downloads in over 45 countries. But I was worried, what were people going to think about a podcast that was born out of the pandemic? So again, this is why I have to kind of reel it in, otherwise it will just go off for hours and hours and hours. But coming back to yourself, it's been an absolute pleasure and ray of sunshine to have you on the show today, Amy. So thank you so much for that. And the question that I always want to ask my guests is, if you could go back to that young Amy who was, you know, she was on that Zoom meeting graduating, and you've gone through this career, what three bits of advice would you love to give to a younger version of yourself?
I would say, to be more sure of myself. I did definitely had imposter syndrome when I first started, which held me back a good bit. So just be more sure of myself and my own decisions. I mean, I followed my gut, so, and it worked. Your gut's there for a reason, so follow that. Don't take it too seriously. Again, I think, just saying over our point, we've mentioned it a few times, have a bit of fun with it, I think. And obviously, it's a job. Stay professional and all the rest, but have fun at the same time. And I think if you look at it like that, you'll take away the embarrassment and all that kind of negative stuff that comes, that stops you from doing things like LinkedIn and calling and everything like that. And just don't take stuff too personally as well. Someone's going to scream on you at the fine. If you're starting an SDR job, someone will scream at you. It's going to happen. But there's going to be one of many, and you'll have just as amount as good calls as well. So yeah, maybe my three.
Awesome. Those are what I would say, solid sound bites. Thank you very much, Amy. And as a gentle reminder, Amy's LinkedIn profile will be within the show notes and the description if watching on YouTube. So if you want to connect with her, ask her or pick her brain on any of the topics we've discussed today, feel free to reach out. Or if you're interested in Tagstar and want to learn more about that and all the CEOs she's talking to, feel free to connect. But I want to say a massive thank you to all of our listeners, watchers and fans and subscribers of the show and supporting us on our journey. But to help us out, if you're listening to this in your local podcast platform, please make sure that you give us a rating and share the episode with your network. Or equally on YouTube, make sure that you like, comment and subscribe down below. But Amy, thank you very much. Big shout out to having your show. Make sure that you give my salute to Minnie, to Christian, Mr. CP and all the crew at Tagstar. But have an awesome weekend, and most importantly, happy selling.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for listening to the SDR Disco Call podcast today. We would like to get this message out to more and more sales development reps, so please like, comment, and share in your local podcast provider. If you don't want to miss a show, you can always send a blank email to SDRDiscoCall@bcast, which is bcast.email, and you'll be added to our mailing list. We're also on the lookout for new guests, so if you work in the world of sales development as an SDR, BDR, MDR, or ADR, and feel that you have an important message or story to share, feel free to email us at podcast@happyselling.io, and we'd love to have you on board.